our praise. We pour out our praise. Go ahead, have a seat just for a moment. We pour out our praise in thanksgiving, and we pour out our praise in expectation. And tonight is a night for both of those things. And in a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving and of expectation. Thanksgiving for what God has done, for what God is doing, an expectation of what God will do and has for us and what he's going to do through us, in us, and with us. And that's a great thing to be looking forward to in that way. As I was thinking about this meeting over the last week, I was thinking back on this type of meetings for years and years, decades that I've been part of. And do you know what? There has never been one punch thrown at these meetings. You laugh, but I know some of you going, amen, yeah. But really, seriously, I was thinking with a full heart, such a full heart, of what has happened, how God has used us, and especially like at this time of year. I don't know if you guys recognize that October is like a month of blessing for us. For instance, 30 years ago, right around now, right, it might have been this week, there were just a few of us. I know Sue Denswell was one of them, Brian, Christy Hartford at the time was her name. A few others maybe were here. And we met, and I was not even a part of this church yet. I was not a member. I got to go to the meeting, and we met, and that small group of believers decided that they were going to leave a denomination that was teaching errant doctrine and become Grace Community Church. Go ahead, give it up. That's good. That's a good thing. That was 30 years ago, and that church started with about 45 or 50 people at that time. It was about 18 years ago, on October 7th, so just a couple days ago, that a bunch of us got together, the church got together, laid hands on Pastor Bernie and Glenn, and we were ordained that evening. So we celebrated that just 2 days ago. Go ahead, thank you. 10 years ago, on this coming Friday, October 11th, 10 years ago, we started our campus in Farmington. So we're celebrating our 10th anniversary. Just a couple of days ago, October 6th, we just commemorated my 6th anniversary of going up to Farmington. I went up as an interim pastor, and I'm still interiming up there. And yesterday, October 8th, just 2 years ago, our congregation got together and we voted in our brand new lead pastor. And aren't you glad that that happened there? And those are just some things that happened like this week for the last 3 decades. And through it all, guys, through it all, God has been so faithful. He's been so patient. And he's been so good to us, this church, Grace Community Church. We are part of something very special here, something that we were joking about the fist flying, but I'm telling you, there is such a unity, a unified spirit here at this church, and we thank you for that, and we thank God for that. So let's pray, and I would like you to pray with me in thanksgiving and in expectation. Father, we come to you humbly, and we come to you confidently. And we thank you for all that you've done. We just pointed out some of the things. We thank you for the way that you have used us. We thank you for the people that are in this room and their stories, their individual stories that have brought them to this place, Lord God. I thank you for the spirit of giving that is in this church. Our church is doing so well financially. I thank you for the spirit of thanks, of sacrifice that is here, where our people are willing to serve in this community and go out and make a difference and be the hands and feet of Jesus. We thank you for this building that we're worshiping in, Lord God, and how you provided it miraculously almost. We thank you for the building up in Farmington, Grace Place, that was given to us for a dollar. I mean, that's amazing, Lord. And we ask that you do that again, in fact. Do it anytime you want to do that, Lord. That's fine. We thank you for the leadership of this church, the elders, the deacons, the staff on this church. It's amazing how well they get along and how much they love the people of this church and love to serve you, Lord God. I'm so thankful to be part of that. And Lord, we thank you for what you are going to do. We come in expectation, Lord God, knowing that you're not through with us yet. You're not. This may be just the beginning of the second chapter of our church here. And we are so grateful that you see fit to use broken vessels as us, to use weird people and messed up people just like us. And you are doing a work through us, and we're so thankful for that, Lord God. And we say yes and amen to that. We say yes and amen to you. So our prayer tonight, Lord God, is based around what is found in Proverbs 3 and 5, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your might. So we're trusting in you tonight, Lord, together corporately. And lean not unto your own understanding. Lord, we're not leaning to what we know, what we think. We are turning it over to you. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So we are coming together here as a group, acknowledging, Lord, that we don't have it together, but you do. You hold the world in your hand. You are the one that put the breath in our lungs that we praise you for, Lord God. And then it says if we do that, then in all things, that you will guide our path. That's what we're asking tonight, Lord God. Guide our path tonight. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
I don't know if I want to follow that. Thank you, Glenn, very much. Appreciate that. Well, welcome everyone tonight. Glad you could be here. I'm going to speak a little louder, so if you want, turn me down, because I talk loud. Thank you. Thank you all for coming tonight. It's important a business meeting we're having. I'm glad that you could be here. I'm glad you could spend this time with us, that you got a letter, you got information, that there was going to be a meeting tonight. We were going to be talking about some purchase and sales options here at the church. A couple things before we start. If you have kids, and we're glad they're here, if they get a little noisy and disruptive, there is a live feed downstairs just so we can make sure that we're not disrupting the whole meeting. We'd appreciate that. And that's kind of it. But tonight's meeting is going to be specifically about the sell of Rochester Hill and the purchasing of the building next door, which is what we're calling the Stoddard House, because Mr. Stoddard, Lawson Stoddard, lived there, and it was his home. And tonight, I'm going to be talking to you about kind of how this process came about, and I'm going to walk you through kind of what's going on. So just so you know, this is the house next door. This is the house we're looking at purchasing and turning it into our offices and no longer having them at Rochester Hill, but being here so we can do ministry downtown a little easier by being right where we have church. So before I kind of go into all that, I want to share with you the story of how this whole process came about, because it's really an amazing story. And my goal, I'm going to be honest, is not up here to try and convince you to do one way or the other, to vote one way or the other. My goal is not up here to try and speak eloquently. That's not who I am. My goal is up here is to tell the story, to show how God worked in this process and how we saw this whole process come about. And so I want to fill you in on the entire story of how we got to the point where we're at tonight and share that with you so that you can see what we saw of God's hand working in this. This process actually started back in January of 2018. It's been a couple years almost. In 2018, I started speaking with John Hall at Profile Bank about the purchasing of this building right now, right here, because right currently we lease this building. I said, wouldn't it be great if we could own this building? And so I started talking to him about what are the options for us to own this building and to purchase it instead of be leasing it. And so I spoke to them, and they said, thank you, but we're not interested. And that was the conversation. And that was about it. That's January of 2018 for about a month. In February of 2018, I received some communication from Profile Bank that said, you know what? We might be interested in selling you the building. I said, all right. So they seemed interested in selling the building, and then not only the building, but the loan center next door, so we could go, ooh, we could have offices and everything right here. It was an exciting day in the office when I shared this information. They're like, that would be wonderful. So I went and talked to him, and Profile Bank said, we're going to go and the board is going to discuss and talk about this issue. So a month later, in March, I got communication from Profile, we are not willing to sell the loan center. And I said, okay, but we would probably be willing to sell the church and break off a piece of the property. I said, great, let's look at that. And we have options then. We could have built some offices next door on site or done some different things. We said, let's go ahead and look at that. Look at that option. So we started going through a process of let's assess our building at Rochester Hill. The bank wanted to assess it for value, or we want to assess it. They want to assess this building as well. And so in May, the Profile got back to us and said, we're not going to sell you anything. I said, okay, I get it. That door is closed. It was closed. You said it might be open, and it's closed. We got it. And so we started talking, going, well, what are some other options we may have? What are some different options we might have of looking at this whole thing? And so we started looking around and seeing where could we purchase this in a different way? Is there office space available? How could we do things? Because currently we were sitting there going, we're doing ministry here. We're having church here. And our offices are at the Hill. And it was becoming difficult to try and manage both. And there was a financial issue about that, going, we're paying for both buildings, we're heating both buildings, all these different costs. And we said, there's got to be a better way for what we can do. We want to do ministry downtown because we want to be where the people are. We don't want them to have to come to us. We want to come to them. We want to serve them where they are. And so we started looking at different options. And in June of 2018, there was a rumor we heard. There was a rumor that the building next door may be for sale at some point. We said, well, that's interesting. Let's go ahead and start talking and find out who knows that, who heard that. And people went, I don't know, I just heard it. And we started asking around, and no one knew. We couldn't find who the source was of this amazing rumor. We didn't know where it was coming from. And so we weren't really sure how to proceed. And so we had this rumor, and we said, all right. So in August of 2018, the leadership team started looking at all options for Rochester Hill and Rochester Downtown. And we started looking at really all the options. We could say, hey, we keep it as it is. We stay at the Hill for doing some ministry there during the week, have our offices there. We have Sundays we do down here. We do some of our food pantry stuff here in different ministries for our teenagers and for Spalding High School and everything. We could do that here. We could sell the Hill and try and lease office space. We could try and buy an office downtown, or we could get rid of downtown and the Hill and go somewhere completely different. Like, we put every option on the table. And really the question we had at the core of this is, what is the best way to reach the community of Rochester? In everything we are doing, we're saying, what is the best way that we can reach this community, that we can serve them, that we can show the love of Jesus, that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus to this community? And so in September of 2018, a conversation started with actually City Blessing Church. Does everyone know who City Blessing Church is? No? Some? No? Okay. City Blessing Church is what we call the Indonesian church. So at our Rochester Hill campus for 16 years, the Indonesian church has been meeting at that building and having church there on Sundays. And for 16 years, their congregation has been growing and they've been doing ministry in the area. And in September of 2018, I was sitting down with Pastor Ronald, and we were talking about some stuff, and he started saying, you know, we're looking at maybe expanding. We're looking at maybe having some other options. And we're wondering if there's ever an option to buy the Hill if you guys aren't having services here anymore. And so we started talking about that, saying, let's explore that. But the problem is, we wouldn't have office space. So we started looking around downtown again, looking at rental space, looking at different options, still trying to find out, does anyone know about the rumor of this house next door? Because we still heard this rumor, but we didn't know where it was coming from. In October of 2018, we had a leadership team meeting. And at the leadership team meeting, we had talked about it for a couple months in a row, but there was someone who was missing from the leadership team for a couple months. There was some sickness and gone on vacation or something. And so I talk and I'm like, hey, we still don't know where this rumor's from. We've been looking. We have no idea. And someone goes, oh, I know who lives there. We said, what? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's my wife's best friend, daughter. Like, we know everything about them. And we're like, you're the rumor. You're the rumor. That's who it is. And the interesting thing is it wasn't from this person, but they knew the whole situation. And so I talked to the person and said, hey, can we maybe set up a meeting? Can we go just talk to them and see, is that an option? So November of 2018, we visited next door. We visited Mr. Lawson Stoddard. And Lawson was an older gentleman, had some health issues, old military guy. And I went down with Greg Silly, and we went in and we sat and talked with him and his daughter. And we must have been there for a couple hours. We just chatted and chatted, and we talked military, and we talked life, and we talked about what we do as a church and what he likes to do. And this was an interesting fellow. This was a guy who, if you walked by his trees, he would be like, pick whatever fruit you want. He would hire someone to come and bring his garbage down every week, not because he needed it brought down, but because he wanted to help that person. This was a person who had a big heart. He had a huge heart. It was really interesting. We had a conversation, talked to him, and he said, you know, I might be interested in selling. So we can look at this option. I said, great. And so we started praying for God's will to be done, whatever that was. As a staff, as leadership, we started praying about those things. In January of 2019, at the beginning of this year, things got a little interesting. In January 4th, we were given word that the Stoddard house wasn't an option to buy because of the owner's living situation. He said, I don't have great health. It doesn't make sense for me to sell here, go buy another house, and not know how long I'm going to be there before I have to go in assisted living or something. So it's not an option. We said, okay, that's not an option. So on January 4th, it was done for right now. On January 18th, the Indonesian church reached out to me, and they said, we had a meeting with our board. We had a meeting with our leadership team. We're ready to buy the church. We would like to buy the hill. And we're like, great. We just found out offices are no longer an option here. So this is on January 18th. 2 days later, on January 20th, we got notification from Mr. Stoddard that he had some more health issues and he was no longer going to be living there. He was going to assisted living and he would like to talk about selling us the property. 2 days later. On January 27th, a week later, the leadership team met. Right after church one day, we kind of had an impromptu leadership team meeting, said, well, let's meet after church, let's discuss it. And we really started talking about it and saying, what are the options? What do we want to see? How do we see this going forward? Is this the best option? Let's look at all of it. So on January 30th, we decided, listen, all the leadership and all the staff are going to take some time and pray about this. And not just pray, but we're going to fast for the day. And we're going to pray together all at the exact same time. And we're going to pray this prayer. This is what I sent out to them saying, here's what we want to do. We want to remember not to be troubled or worried about what may come. We are seeking God, his kingdom, and his righteousness. And he will lead us in all other things. In the end of everything, these buildings are just buildings, structures made of wood and metal. They do not define who we are or our relationship with God. We must always remember to seek him first. He will provide the rest. As we pray today, seek God. Seek his righteousness. Seek his will in all things. We have a God that is greater than any budget, any obstacle, any worry, and any fear, anything. Let us go to God boldly and ask him to reveal his will for us as we seek his righteousness in our lives. And this is what we prayed. We prayed for God, show us your will. Because I'll be honest, up until that moment, we had a lot of differing opinions. There were some of us that went, I don't know if we should sell. I'm not comfortable just having a lease. I'm not comfortable with this. We had differing opinions. And we said, look, we can have differing opinions, but you know what? We all trust God. So let's go to God and let's trust him. So that happened on, that date was on January 30th that we had that time of fasting. And then on February 4th, we all joined together. And we all came together for a meeting, all the leadership, all the staff, and said, let's talk. Not talk until from fasting and praying until that meeting. And now let's talk about what God spoke to us. And we sat down in that meeting, 15 of us. And we said, people, let's just start sharing. And it was an amazing thing that happened. Every single person, no matter where they had been before, every single person went, I feel this is where God is leading us. I feel that that's where we should be. In our offices right there, I feel that we should sell Rochester Hill, and I feel we should be located downtown doing ministry where the people are, where we can serve them on a daily basis, where we can be here every day during the week, where we can start showing the love of God on a more daily basis and not come up to us at the hill and we'll be there on Sunday. But we're here all the time. We're here in this community. And on February 4th, all of us agreed to that. And we all said that. And so discussions with the Stoddard House and with City Blessing Church started to take a little more serious turn. In April of 2019, we had contractors come in to look at the house, to evaluate what it would cost to fix it up, what it would take to turn it into office space, what it would take to add some conference rooms, what it would take to do the work that would need to be done so that we could be in there. And we had a home inspector come in, and we checked all that stuff out, and we went, started doing our due diligence. At this point, we're sitting there going, we're excited about this, but we still didn't know if it was going to happen. So at this point, we didn't feel comfortable going, let me come to the church and go, hey, we may do this. Maybe. We're not sure. So we said, we're going to just keep doing our due diligence and going through things. And when we know that it is really a possibility, we're going to bring it to the church. So in May of 2019, City Blessing started working on obtaining financing. The leadership team went over and did a walkthrough of the property to look at future possibilities. A purchase price was agreed on between us and the Stoddard family. And the owner made this amazing decision. He said, look, I want you to know I've had offers on the house, and they're more than you guys are willing to pay. And I don't want to give it to anyone else. I only want you guys to have it. The amazing thing about this is Mr. Lawson was not a Christian. Mr. Stoddard, Lawson Stoddard, was not a Christian. In fact, I was told, and he said it, he was an atheist. And he didn't want us to have the church because he was a Christian, we were Christians, so it seemed like a good deal. He said, I love what you guys are doing. I love what this church is doing for the community. I love how you guys reach out and take care of people. I love what you guys are going to do with this property. And so he said, I only want to sell it to you, and no one else will get it. And he had quite a bit higher offers than what we could do. But he didn't want it. He wanted it to go to us. He wanted us to do what we were continuing to do. And then the next month, in June of 2019, June of this year, we got some bad news that Mr. Stoddard passed. And he passed away. One of the amazing things is I got to go up and talk to him multiple times. I got to go into the assisted living facility. I got to talk to him. I got to share my faith with him. I got to have great conversations with him. I talked to him about apple trees and orchards, and I talked to him about helping people in the military, but I just got to talk to him and be in his life. And honestly, I don't know where Mr. Stoddard ended up. I don't know where his final decision was. But I feel no matter what else happened, that I was fortunate to be able to speak into his life, that I was able to show him Jesus, to say, this is what it really looks like. It's just me and God, and it's you and me, it's you and God as well. And so even though Mr. Stoddard passed, I felt very fortunate that I was able to spend time with him. After he passed, I had conversations with his family, and they said, Dad was adamant. No one gets it but you. So we still want to honor that you guys get the church, you guys get the building, and that's for the exact same price that he said. Even though they knew they could sell it for more, they wanted to honor what he had come to agree to. At this point, the Indonesian church started to do a campaign to raise funds to purchase Rochester Hill. And in June of this year, they raised about $50,000. They had pledged to them, and they said, we're going to start going. They had to raise over $130,000 for a down payment to be able to purchase the building. And they're like, we're going to start here. So in July, the Stoddard House started getting to clean out. They started cleaning out. They had 50 years of cleaning to do in that house. So like it took a couple dumpsters and a lot of trips going to Goodwill and a lot of families being helped. Because once again, he's like, any furniture in this house, I want given to a family that it can help. Anything here, I want to be given to someone that it can help them out. So City Blessing's continuing to raise money. The house is continuing to be cleaned. In August of this year, Profile Bank is working with the Indonesian church, with City Blessing, to help secure financing for them to purchase this. And we started working closer and closer. And I went and I said, here's one issue I have. If we sell Rochester Hill and we purchase this property next door, we've got a five-year lease here. We think you want us to be around, but we don't know. And so I talked to the bank, and they're like, well, you want us to just extend it 5 years and give the option for another five? I said, absolutely. And so they are extending our lease, so we have a 10-year lease. And they said, when this 5 years is up, if you want to add 5 years afterwards, just let us know. We love having you as neighbors. We love having you as tenants. We have no issues, and we love what you're doing. So we now have 10 years guaranteed at this building. City Blessing Church then had raised $82,000 in August, so they were on their way. And a plan to start talking to key leaders about the purchase and sale happened. At this point, I started having a couple key conversations with people who had been here for that 30 years that Grace Community Church had been around, and started talking to them. I started talking to our preaching team. I started talking to our home group leaders, and the leadership team and staff knew about it. We started saying, look, this is kind of what's going on, and this is where we're looking at. And in September of this, just last month, we went under contract for this house to say, we're going to go under contract, but there has to be a line in there that says it's based on an affirming vote by the congregation. Because the reality is, this isn't my decision. This isn't the leadership team's decision or the staff's decision. This decision is going, we are recommending what we see God is doing in this community, what we see him doing in this church, but it's up to the membership. It's up to the people that are part of this saying, this is where we see also God leading. It's our recommendation to move forward, but it's your decision. And so this last month, we went under contract. I met with people, and we sent the letter out to say, hey, we're going to start. We'd like to have this meeting. Here's what it's about. We'd like to gather people together, and we want to put it to you. Do you agree with this or not? And the neat thing is, in August, City Blessing had raised $82,000. Last month, by the end of the month, they had an influx, and they have almost $200,000 sitting there ready to go. They were not expecting it, but they are very excited, and they're seeing God move in their community. They thought for many years, because they have a church in Boston as well, that Boston would finally have a building. And now they're going, you know what? We think it's Rochester. We think Rochester is the place we can grow and the place we can do ministry and the place we can continue to meet people's needs. And as a growing Indonesian community is in Somersworth and Rochester, and it's getting bigger, they're going, we can be here to serve those people. We can be here to show them what it means to follow God with their lives. And that brings us to today at this meeting. Now, I know that's a kind of a long timeline to go through for the last 2 years, but part of that is for you to understand this isn't something that we kind of went, ooh, hey, last week someone offered to sell a house. We should do it. This is something that has had time put into it, conversations put into it. This is something that has had a lot of thought and prayer and fasting. And it's something that we've felt very passionate about. Not because we want to force something through, but because we have seen God's hand guiding this entire situation. And so we, as a leadership team, recommend this decision to sell Rochester Hill, to purchase the property next door, to have our offices right here, and be able to do ministry right here in downtown all week long, and be here for the foreseeable future. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's some pros and there's some cons to this decision. I'm going to lay them out. The pros are some of these. The location. We come to be here where the people have need, not make them come to us. Many times we have people who are homeless, or we have people that are suffering, people that need food, all these different things. And if we have them come to Rochester Hill, we end up coming down here anyways and taking care of them right here. So going, if we were right here, we could serve them where they would be. It'd be much easier with our offices next door. Anytime we forget something in our office or we have to make a copy or anything else, supporting Sunday worship, supporting Cafe Red, gigs, Celebrate Recovery, worship team practices, men groups, women's Bible studies, all of them will be happening right here, and we will be right there, and they'll all happen at the same time. It won't be running back and forth between the hill and here. There's also future opportunities. If you look at that piece of land, you'll notice there's a lot of land there. There's a lot of places where there's opportunities to expand, where we can build ministry centers, where we can do future projects, where we can do opportunities by being accessible to more people in this area. This last year alone, we've seen a 25% increase in use of our food pantry because of people that are hurting and struggling. 25%, that's a lot of food. That's a huge need. Shireen sometimes comes in and goes, it's a lot. What do I do? But we see that need. And if we're here, we can continue to meet that need. Being here downtown offers us opportunities for Mission Outreach Department to grow with a greater presence in downtown, doing things like Porch Fest or the parades and stuff where we're right here, where we're visible, where we can be part of the community at all times instead of just coming to the community. There's also costs to consider. The cost to run office space at Rochester Hill is much more than it'll cost to run office space right there. Heating this building will be a lot less than heating Rochester Hill. Cooling it, electricity, plowing, all these different maintenance costs, there will be a real dollar savings. And those real dollar savings can be used to continue to reach people and continue to show them love of God. It'll be a way that we can continue to do more ministry. Also, there's some financial benefits. The sale of Rochester Hill will cover the purchase of the Stoddard House and will also cover all upgrades, renovations to be made. And we're hoping there's a surplus afterwards as well. They'll make it so we have future opportunities to continue to meet needs. And we'll be able to continue to meet those needs without holding on to long-term debt or anything like that. Also, there's a lot happening at Rochester Hill. And it's not necessarily with us. City Blessing's growing. They're continuing to reach more people. Church on the Common also meets there every single Sunday. And they have church there. There's another church that has joined Church on the Common, so there's now three churches having church there on Sunday at Rochester Hill. The beautiful thing about this whole thing is City Blessing says, we're going to purchase it, we want it, we want to be a part of this, but we want Church on the Commons to continue to be here. We want this other church to continue to be here. And both of them have said, we want to enter into a long-term agreement so that we can stay for a long time as well. It is a beautiful thing to sit there and go, 16 years ago, we had Rochester Hill, and there was a church we could help out, have a home for 16 years. And now, they're doing the exact same thing for another church. That's what they want to do. It's an amazing thing. But, as there are pros, there are some cons. There's a few cons, to be honest. One is, we do not own this building. We are leasing this building. What that means is, someday, this church could be gone. I'm going to admit, it could happen. I do know that for 10 years, we're here. In 10 years, a lot can happen. I'm hoping in 10 years, this is our building. And we sit there and go, it's ours. And we go, we have here and the loan center. Those talks will continue to happen. I'm hoping in 10 years, if we go, hey, this lease is up, it's because we own this building and we have our offices there and don't tell anyone, but we somehow own Ben Franklin too and we have a ministry center there as well. So it becomes a Rochester campus. Now, don't go out and spread rumors. There's nothing happening with Ben Franklin's. Yes, I saw that. But we don't own the building. And that can be scary because it's unknown. But we do still own real property. We'll own this property. We own Grace Place in Farmington. And we lease both of our locations where we have services on Sunday. So it is something that can be scary, but it's something completely doable. Another thing that's honestly tough would be saying goodbye to Rochester Hill. There's a lot of history there. The history of our church starting is there. My history's there. Orange carpets, right? The most disgusting carpets ever were at Rochester Hill. The orange room. That's how we knew it. Wow, that's crazy. But we have a history there. You know, my kids were baptized in that church. I got to baptize them. I have that memory of watching my kids choose to say that they want God to be their Savior. And I got to be a part of it. I started attending at Rochester Hill. I came in there when I could barely walk and barely move. If you guys remember it, I was a sore sight to see. You know, you weren't my father-in-law at that point. But I started doing ministry at the Hill. That's where I started. My office was there, and I started doing ministry. I started working with worship team, associate pastor. I became the lead pastor. Well, at the Hill. For others, it It's not just been the last 10 or 12 years. It's been 20 years, 30 years, decades of your life. And it holds memories in our lives, both personal and spiritual. A lot of us have had changed lives at Rochester Hill. And that will be tough to leave behind because of the memories we have there, because of the life change we've seen there. But here's the reality of the whole situation. God does not live in buildings. God does not live at Rochester Hill, and he doesn't live at Rochester downtown. He doesn't live at the Stoddard House. He doesn't live in Farmington. He's not at Grace Place. They are places for us to gather together, and that's it. They're places so that we can go out and take care of other people. God doesn't live in those buildings, but he does live inside of us. And it doesn't matter if we own a building, if we lease a building, if we have a tent or anything else. If we're gathering together, God is with us. God is with us. He's in our presence. Wherever, ever we gather, he's there. We want to be good stewards of the resources we have. We want to use the gifts we are given for his glory. It is my personal belief, it's the belief of the steward or of the leadership team and the staff, that we can care for those people more if we're right here, if we're right there. That we can reach those people who are outcasts, who are in the margins, who are what are known as the poor in society. Not people that are financially poor. People that are physically, mentally, spiritually poor, that are struggling to get through from one day to another. And we go, let us be Jesus to you. We believe we can do that better here. The elders, deacons, pastors, and staff all believe that this move will allow us to serve a community of Rochester and our congregation more efficiently. We believe we'll have greater opportunities to show God's love and grace to those around us. And we believe that this move is the right one to make and that God has led us in this move as we've turned to him. I'll be honest, until we all completely turned to him, we were in disagreement about a lot of things. We were struggling to go, where do we find the common ground? And it was only when we said, it's not what we want. God, we want it to be what you want, that all of us lined up in unity. All of us lined up together and said, we see you working in us. We see you working through us. We see you in this process, God. We want to follow you. We believe it's the right move to make. And we hope that you see the same thing, that you see God's hand in this process, that you see what God has done, how he's made this process work, how he's been opening doors and closing them and letting us walk through them if we walk through in faith. But ultimately, the reality is, this decision is yours to make. This decision is not mine to make. It's the membership. It's the people that are part of this church, this body of believers that say, what do we want to do as a collective? Now we've talked, Glenn talked about unity. I want us to have 100% unity in this decision. That doesn't mean that we all have to vote the same way. I want us to have unity, but no matter what our vote is, it's that we're seeking God's will in it. I want us to understand that we need to follow Romans 8:27 that says, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I don't want this to be my will or the leadership team's will or the staff's will. I don't want you to follow what you think our will is. I want every single one of us to seek God's will in this. I want us to pray. I want us to sit there and go, God, where would you have us be? And if God's leading you to vote no, then vote no. And if God's leading you to vote yes, then vote yes. That's how this works. We can have unity without all being the exact same. In fact, we don't want to be the same. I love hearing different voices. I love hearing different thoughts on things. It makes us stronger and understand each other more and grow closer to God because it makes us rely more on him. But we do have to vote on this. And the voting has a certain procedure. As per our bylaws and our constitution, there's a certain way that voting takes place. When we have a decision to purchase real property, it has to be a vote, and it has to be of the attending members at the meeting. And this vote is up to you. The leadership team makes a recommendation. Our recommendation is we want to sell Rochester Hill and purchase the soldered house for our offices. But it's your vote. When you came in, you should have gotten one of the ballots. This ballot, when you came in, we checked your name off the list to say, yes, this person is a member. And they're a member, so you get a ballot. When you turn that ballot in, there's two things you have to do. You have to put your name on the top, and you have to vote yes or no. This name on the top is not so that we can go who voted yes and who voted no. It's because we have to check it back against that membership list and go, is the person voting a member? So if someone came in here and happened to get a ballot, they can't just go, oh, I'll put it in and put in without a name. We have to know if someone sends one in that they were a member when they voted. So you put your name on the ballot, you mark yes or no, and you have four different options. One, if you know what you want to do, you can turn it in tonight. There's baskets right by the door. Feel free to turn those ballots in. You can also bring it Sunday. You can put it in the offering basket or give it to the info desk, and they will take it, and we'll put it in an envelope, and we'll bring it right back to the church. Third option is you can send it in by mail. You can mail it in to Rochester Hill, our 159 Rochester Hill Road, and send it in to us and give it there. Or the other thing is you can bring it in person. But it's very important that you understand all of these votes have to be returned to Rochester Hill office by 4 p.m. on October 17th of this year, not next year. All right? 4 p.m. on Thursday, October 17th. That's the close of business of the office. We have to have the votes in by then, and they can't be postmarked in the mail. They have to be at the office by that time. So if you sit here and go, I know how I want to vote, feel free to vote. If you sit there and go, I'm not sure, I really feel I need to seek God more in this, seek God in this. Take time to pray. Take time to ask questions. In fact, if you have questions after service, and you're like, I have a couple questions right now, there's different people you can ask. Would all the elders and deacons please stand up real quick? Any of these people who are standing up, you can ask them afterwards. You can ask them a question about the process, about how it works. You can also ask me. You guys can go ahead and sit, thanks. You can also ask me any questions you want. You can go ahead and call me at the office, or you can email me, kelly@graceplace.com. It doesn't get any easier than that. I would be happy to meet with you. I'd be happy to talk with you. I'd be happy to answer any questions. None of this is like hidden information. We want to be as open as we can within everyone. But by being open, we do want you to know we think this is the way to go. We think this is where God is leading us in the next journey, this chapter of our journey at Grace Community Church. We think this is the way that God is going to continue to open doors for us to serve the community. But feel free to contact any point. Feel free to ask questions. Feel free to get more information if you would like. At this point, I am going to close us in prayer. And then we're going to have the worship team come up and do one more song. And we're going to end the service with really a song of worship. And the reason is this. Because no matter what happens, no matter what people decide, no matter what decision happens tonight, there's a truth that is still true no matter what. We worship an awesome God. His will is perfect in every way. Sometimes we don't get it right, but we trust that God always gets it right. The other truth is that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ who have been adopted into a family we don't deserve. But we've been adopted to a family by a God who loves us, who would die for us, and then who lives inside of us so that he can guide us through our whole lives. So why don't we go ahead and pray together right now. Dear Lord, we come before you tonight with a sense of expectation of whatever you have that you would want us to do. With an expectation that your will happen, God. Lord, I pray each one of us seeks your will in our heart. That we are open to hearing your voice. And that you will lead us where you believe we should go, God. That you will lead us into your presence. Lord, none of us have all the answers. We can't predict the future. But God, we know that you're in it. We know that no matter where we go, you will be there. And as long as we continue to focus on you, to follow you, to give our lives to you, God, as long as we continue to turn our life over to you every day, that God, you will lead us where you want us to go. I pray that in our personal lives, but I pray that in our corporate life as well, God. That our church will be your hands and feet to this community. No matter what that looks like, that we would continue to follow you, continue to love you, continue to worship you, and continue to call you good, good Father. Lord, we pray these things in your holy and blessed name. Amen.